Good morning.
Good morning.
Damn good morning. Nice to see everyone here. I think maybe some people in our congregation have Catholic leanings, must be in Philadelphia this morning. A few announcements to make. First, you take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down. And remind, if you're not paid per capita, it'd be appreciative of $27.85, because we do pay the total amount into Presbytery. And you know about the church prayer requests, and the nursery is available next door. There's a children's sermon this morning, and the choir is going to stay up today because the hymn of response is a new song, so they're going to help us with that. Remind you about the chili cook-off next Sunday that the elders will be providing, so I hope that you can come out and eat chili and have fellowship and get to vote on which chili you like the best. A senior adult day in Crestfield, our Presbyterian camp on Wednesday, October the 7th. You can talk to B.J. Morrison about that. She'll be going. Third annual Heavenly Harvest Fellowship will take place after church on October the 18th. The bonfire, apple cider, cookies, and s'mores. So cookie donations are welcome for that. Food Bank Challenge, you can read about that starting October the 4th, the different items. And please sign up for scripture readers also. I'd said something, either the last Sunday or the Sunday before last, I would like to have a blessing of the animals, blessing of the pets. I kind of hope to do it maybe in October, but with all the functions going on, that's not going to work out. We need to get on the schedule because people rent our fields and there'll be so many cars in the parking lot, so it's not good to try to do two things at once. So be in prayer about that, that we can do that maybe in the spring and fall. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And remind you, the missional committee meets this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church. We are grateful that all churches have some truth in their doctrines. We know that you alone have the ultimate truth. Forgive us when we think we are better than others. Forgive us when we think we have all the answers. Show us how we can bring peace to the world. Remind us that we need to be a unifying force and not a divisive one. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Okay, good morning, boys and girls. Has everybody had a great week?
Yes.
Are you ready for today?
Yes.
Are you ready to go out and be little ministers?
Yes.
Yes? All right. I have a book today, and some of you may have heard it. It's called Have You Filled a Bucket Today?
Oh, I saw it.
You saw that one?
No,
oh.
I made the first one.
Okay. I may not be able to show you the pictures, but I think you'll definitely get the idea of the story. Yeah. Okay, let me read here. It says, all day long, everyone worldwide walks around carrying an invisible bucket. You can't see it, but it's there. You have a bucket. A member of your family has a bucket. Your grandparents, friends, and neighbors all have a bucket. Everyone carries an invisible bucket. Your bucket has one purpose only. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and your good feelings about yourself. When you feel very happy and good, your bucket is full. And when you feel very sad and lonely, when your bucket is empty. Other people feel the same way too. They're happy when their buckets are full, and they're sad when their buckets are empty. It's great to have a full bucket, and this is how it works. You need other people to fill your bucket, and other people need you to fill theirs. You can fill your own bucket too. So, how do you do that? You fill a bucket when you show love to someone, when you say or do something kind, and even when you give someone a smile. That's being a bucket filler. A bucket filler is loving, caring for another person who says and does nice and special things. When you make someone feel special, you are filling their bucket. But you can also dip into a bucket and take some good feelings out. You dip into a bucket when you make fun of someone, or when you say mean things, or even when you ignore someone. A bully is a bucket dipper. A bucket dipper says and does mean things that makes other people feel bad. That's right. Many people who dip have an empty bucket. They think they can fill their own bucket by dipping into someone else's, but that will never work. But guess what? When you fill someone's bucket, your bucket gets filled up too. You feel good when you help others. All day long, we either are filling up or dipping into other buckets. Your love for your mom and dad, why not tell them you love them? Why not tell them why? Your caring words can fill their buckets right up. Watch for smiles to light up their faces. You will feel like smiling too. A smile is a good clue you have filled a bucket. If you practice, you'll become a great bucket filler. Just remember that everyone carries an invisible bucket, and think of what you can say or do to fill that bucket.
Good morning.
You can say good morning. You can bucket a new kid to school. You could even invite someone to church. You can write a thank you letter. You can tell your grandpa that you would like to spend time with them. There are many ways to fill a bucket. When you are a bucket filler, you make your home, your school, and your neighborhood a better place. Bucket filling makes everyone feel good. So why not decide today to be a bucket filler today and every day? Just start by saying to yourself, I'm going to do something to fill someone's bucket today. And then at the end of the day, think about what you did. And then that can be you. You can be a bucket filler.
The end.
The end. So, is anybody here a bucket filler? You're all bucket fillers? Hey, you've come to church today, didn't you? How's that make you feel?
Happy.
Does it make you feel happy? It makes you feel good? Are you filling your bucket right now by being here today? Yes. Okay. And you have been working on a project in junior church for a very long time. We've been working on prayer chain bracelets. Does everybody remember what the prayer chain bracelet is? Can you hold that one? All right. We in junior church have made these prayer chain bracelets so all the children in junior church can give one out to each member in the congregation. So they're going to help try to fill everyone's bucket today, just a little bit. And if you wear that, and as you're wearing that prayer chain bracelet, if you can say prayers for each member in the church today, so we can all be bucket fillers and minister in God's word.
Yes.
I'm gonna separate them, okay? And kids, do you remember last week we said, I'm gonna give each one of you real soon. Can you remember, I am the church? You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we are the church together. So with that.
In the thirsty water, give unto me.
Responsive reading, 646, the church. 646, the church. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?"
And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
And as the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
For by the Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit.
He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
And you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself,
in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in Spirit.
Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having
at this time, I ask the elder on the door to come forward with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The first prayer request is for Kathy Sagey from herself, and she is having surgery on Monday, October 5th for an esophagus repair, complicated. Please be in prayer that there is no complications and can be returned to the choir and other duties and activities. And she'll be in the hospital October 5th through the 8th at UPMC Mercy. The second is a prayer request for, it's a praise request for Doug Mellinger. He has stage 4 esophageal cancer, but is doing well. We had a benefit spaghetti dinner last night. He was able to eat the whole plate of spaghetti. They raised over $11,000. Praise God. And the third prayer request is for Jill, and this is for Sue Gill's niece. She has Lyme disease, and she's very ill.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this day. We thank you for your great love, your compassion for us as human beings. We thank you for the church who gives us some of the truth. Help us to spread that truth with a sense of caring, compassion, empathy for others. For those who are less fortunate than we are, in whatever way that might be. Lord, help us this day to have a sense of unity within Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, to have a sense of unity within our family units, and a sense of unity as best we can within our country. Where we cannot find unity, may we find acceptance for others and not belittle them, or put them down for their beliefs or their understanding or their status in life. Fill us with love. Fill us with grace. We ask for these prayers today for everyone who has been mentioned and listed in our valley or bulletin. Once again, for all those who have a silent request who have not spoken out. Heal us, help us, encourage us, motivate us. And we thank you for your disciples, for their dedication, and for the prayer that you gave them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn of preparation, 284. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Spirit,
thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the glory that is yours, and the gifts that you have given to your church. Help us to use them in love and point people to Christ, not so that we might be puffed up, but that the church might be built up. Thank you for everything that is given. Thank you, Lord. Bless this congregation in the name of Christ our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Today's reading is from Mark 9, 38 to 41. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For truly I said to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward." This is the word of our Lord.
What a great message for our church and for our society in general. That's not really the current theme in our society. It's us against them. Democrats against Republicans. Illegal immigrants against native-born descendants of immigrants. Christians against Muslims. Fundamentalists against liberals. As the Hall of Famer boxing announcer loves to say before a fight, "Let's get ready to rumble." And that's how we are sometimes. It seems like we're just looking for a fight to defend our side. We're right and they are wrong. Or I'm right and you are wrong. Or my church is right and your church is wrong. Carl and Rosa Sumara, in their book Holy Hilarity, tell a great story. It's about a church, Baptist church, Southern Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, that had a problem with their parking. Nearby there were two other places of worship, a Catholic church and an Episcopal church. Parking was hard to come by, and since these two churches met earlier than the Southern Baptist church met, they used their parking lot. When the Baptists arrived for worship, there was no place for them to park. So every Sunday, it was just, what are we going to do? People were getting aggravated. Well, the Baptists came up with a very innovative solution. Members of the Baptist church spent one Sunday morning putting bumper stickers on all the cars in the parking lot. The bumper stickers proclaim, "I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist." Now, yesterday I ordered 5,000 bumper stickers. One Sunday morning we're going to go to all the churches around that are meeting and secretly put them on their bumper stickers. I don't think they would appreciate that. At least things are a little better than they used to be. Arthur Herman's book, How the Scots Invented the Modern World, tells about one incident between the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians. Now, you may not realize this, but Presbyterians, by our history and our nature, have been a very, how should I delicately put this, argumentative people, to say the least. Well, the missionary tried to preach in the Carolinas, and the local Presbyterians disrupted the service. They rioted outside while he preached, took a pack of dogs and started fighting them right outside of the church, loosed his horse, stole his church key, refused him food and drink in the town, and gave him, not him, but gave two barrels of whiskey to his Episcopalian congregation. Now, as I said, there's only one problem with this story. I don't know many Presbyterians that are going to give away their whiskey. They're going to keep it themselves. "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Jesus said, don't stop him. "For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us." Isn't that just like Jesus? Doesn't he know that we like to huddle in our own little cliques. Suburbs against the inner city, blacks against white, the wealthy against everybody else. How dare Jesus ruin our fun when we enjoy looking down our nose at other people? We enjoy looking down on people who are not like us, who look different from us, who look at life differently than we do, who have a different set of values and understanding about life or the scriptures or whatever it might be. The most natural thing in the world is to prefer people who are like us. Sociologists call it ethnocentrism. People prefer people who are like them, and we're often uncomfortable with people who are different from us. A few years back, everyone that came to church when I was growing up dressed the women in hats and the men in suits and ties. And things have changed today. We call it our Sunday best. And anyone wearing blue jeans might have felt uncomfortable in a service then. Today, in the church's casual dress is the norm. And actually, it's kind of switched over. Someone in a suit might be the one that feels uncomfortable in church today. We like people who are like us, who look like us, dress like us, come from the same family, share our values, or are part of our tribe. Much of the segregation and violence done today, unfortunately, as you well know, is done in the name of religion. I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. We recoil at the barbaric actions of ISIS and any terrorist group. Well, they are no more barbaric than some of the atrocities committed with Protestants and Roman Catholics against one another through the ages, killing and torturing. A few years ago, Pakistan's Daily reported on violence in Daywood Engineering College in Karachi. What started out as an exchange of words snowballed into a fist fight. The issue was opposed to urging students not to fight on campus, and the fight was over which one of them would put up the poster. And they started fighting. Sometimes you just got to laugh to keep from crying. Inside the Erie County Correctional Facility, just north of us, James and Lawrence began arguing over a bag of potato chips. And they started fighting with one another, fists fighting. And someone nearby in the prison broke up the fight. Now, what's ironic about this is that James and Lawrence were the prison guards. The one who broke up the fight was a prisoner. Turning upside down. And we know one of the responsibilities of prison guards is to stop fights. And here's an inmate breaking up a fight between two prison guards. It's kind of like an atheist having to break up a fight between a Muslim and a Christian. Among our duties as followers of Jesus is to bring peace to the world. We follow the one who is called the Prince of Peace. And here's what our text calls us to think about. What happens when we cannot get along among ourselves? We're those who Christ calls to be a light to a dark world. If rather than we bringing light to the world, we bring more darkness, what hope is there for the world who is in darkness? Jesus said to his disciples, "For whoever is not against us is for us." The Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a unifying force in society and not a divisive one. Our nation, our world seem to be more and more fragmented. We see it everywhere we look. Government's just one example. Liberals and conservatives, fundamentalists, all over this world seem to be at one another's throats, and even churches fighting against one another. Denominations fighting within themselves and fragmenting. There's an ironic story in the Associated Press a few months back, and here's how it read, and I remember using this before, but in honor of what's going on right now. Tens of thousands of people packed St. Peter's Square in the Vatican City to hear the Pope Francis pray for peace in Ukraine. The ceremony was topped off by two white doves being released as a symbol of peace and purity. Unfortunately, right after they were released, a seagull and a crow attacked and killed these symbols of peace. Isn't that a metaphor for what's going on in our world today? Who will show us the way out? It should be the people of God. Our lesson for today shows the disciples territorial, jealous, guarding their claim to represent Jesus. Now, we're the 12 disciples. No one else has the truth. You can't be preaching about Jesus. That's us. On one level, this is understandable. In that day and time, disciples were often named after their rabbi. They were responsible for carrying on his legacy. They were identified by the name of their rabbi. That was the nature of the relationship between disciples and rabbis, and it was a very exclusive one. We just love exclusivity, don't we? It would be an invasion for anyone else to use the name and even the teachings of a particular rabbi if not authorized by him to do so. The disciples of Jesus encountered a man using the name of Jesus to preach and drive out demons when he was not authorized. This offended the disciples, and they told him, "Stop it." And John tells Jesus what they had done. It was not that the disciples had found any misuse of the name of Jesus on the part of this man, or knew of any personal sin in this man's life, or anything that he was saying was wrong. They just felt that he should not be doing it because he was unauthorized. The disciples felt, this is our franchise. We own it. To them, it was like the Pope speaking for all the Muslims of the world. Jesus told the disciples to stop hindering the man, for no one could perform a miracle in his name and then speak evil of him publicly. Jesus' acceptance of this man was reinforced when he said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Though this man did not follow Jesus exactly in the way or the capacity that the 12 disciples did, he followed him and believed that Jesus was the Messiah and was doing his best to tell others. In verse 41, Jesus broadens his words to include actions besides casting out demons. Even one who performs the smallest act of hospitality in his name, such as giving someone something as simple as just giving them a drink of water because they belong to him, will not lose his reward. Jesus had no interest in awarding a franchise to a certain group of people or a franchise to a certain church group. His desire was to develop relationships with people and not to cause divisions among them. We're those who call to bring Christ's priest to the world. And how can we bring peace if we're at strife with one another? In 1899, the people of Argentina and Chile were poised for war. The Argentinian bishops appealed for peace between the two countries, which they should have been doing. The Chilean bishop took up the cause and the dispute was submitted to King Edward VII, whose decision settled the quarrel. The unused guns from both countries were then melted down and abused for a colossal statue of Christ erected on a mountain range between the two countries. That is our legacy as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be representatives of peace for all people. It's okay to have a different understanding, a different set of beliefs that are personal to our church, are personal to you, but you don't hurt other people because they're different or that their belief system is a little bit different. So we need, here at Glenshaw Valley, and when we go out into the world, to do our best to achieve unity and peace and not division within the church or division in our community and not have division within our homes and ultimately not have division in the world. May God bless you. Amen. The hymn of response, We Will Stand, 474. Whatever it might be, but let's go out into the world and be as accepting as we can of others and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.